My dear friends, I'd like to have you think with me this morning again as a sequel to Gomer the Roamer out of the book of Hosea, who was said to be the daughter of Diblaim and the wife of a prophet and a wife of whoredoms. I would remind you that that book was written, inspired of God, to provide an illustration through a marriage relationship that so aptly pictured the relationship of the people of Israel to God Himself, and that the people of Israel at a point in time prostituted themselves to idols. And God chose to use this way in His instructions to the prophet to go take a wife of whoredoms. And so we considered Gomer the Roamer, and made application to the church, where in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian church, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? And shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot?" Remember now that Corinth was a city that was steeped in promiscuous pagan idolatry. Out of that, God's people were called. And yet, even though saved by the grace of God, there would be, as there is in any culture, a time when the Corinth of the situation must be, by the Spirit of God, extracted from the lives. And that would take some time. And so there was this teaching from the apostle. Said, "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" And his instructions were to the church, "Come out from among them." Now this morning, I'd like to continue with the great physician's diagnosis and take up the issue of gout. Gomer's gout. I looked into the affliction that touches the lives of many. I've had gout off and on in my life. I don't like it. I'm just glad it's not chronic or constant. But as I understand it from the perspective of the Mayo Clinic staff, that it is acute and intense when it strikes. It's very painful. It's an inflammation of the joints and usually occurs at the large joint of the big toe. And that's very painful. And when that occurs, the only thing that you are occupied with is relieving the pain. You can't sleep with it. You can't think with it. You're constantly trying to rub salve on it. And pretty soon you get so desperate, you take a hammer out. And you say, "If everything else fails, I'm going to put an end to this toe." It's that painful. But sometimes it goes beyond the big toe, and it can and oftentimes does affect the hands and the feet and knees and wrists. And if it's left untreated, I am made to understand, this chronic malady only gets worse until joints become damaged irreparably. We want to talk about Gomer's gout. Hosea the prophet presents a view of God's people in a specific period of time. And if you look at Hosea 1 verse 1 and you see the names of certain kings that are mentioned there, you can look back in the record, pinpoint the reign of those kings, and you will find that during this particular time, though it was a time of great material prosperity for the people of God, they were spiritually disabled. You might say the nation was like unto limping invalids. And as Logdon writes, this gout-like condition was and has been chronically demonstrated in the life and times of God's children, whether it be Israel or the church, and going way, way back, and continues even to this present day. And to make a quote from this old Bible scholar concerning this, he said, you know, if you open the files of the great physician, which basically is the Bible, it will show a number of things in the Old Testament record. For example, it will show Israel's carelessness in 1st and 2nd Samuel. It will show them as dissipating in 1st and 2nd Kings. It will demonstrate anemia in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And it will be that you find very clearly expressed in the early chapters of the book of Isaiah, seen to be critically ill and seen delirious in Jeremiah and Ezekiel's day, literally as invalids throughout the 12 books of the minor prophets. Invalids. Ignorant of their condition, perhaps unwilling to acknowledge it. They resisted every counsel of their loving physician to obtain treatment to revive or heal their demoralizing condition. And as we read the report, we remember to examine our own hearts in light of it. Remember this. Hosea speaks to the nation of Israel primarily and literally. No doubt about it. But we remember that in the New Testament to the church, these words are written in 1 Corinthians 10. All these things in Hosea and in the other prophets, all these things happened unto them for ensamples. And they are written for our admonition, the church, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And furthermore, there in that same place in 1 Corinthians 10, at or around verse 11 through verse 14, these words of sober caution come to play, where he says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." There is, from time to time, a willingness or an unwillingness on the part of modern day Christianity to acknowledge Old Testament similarity, something that doesn't apply. And yet we read that God is faithful and he will make a way of escape. And wherefore in that same section, verse 14, I believe it is, 1 Corinthians 10, 14, he says this, "Flee from idolatry." He says that to the church. Flee from idolatry. An admonition to his dearly beloved bride. Now, idolatry will be seen to run in her blood, as the physician's lab report will show. And so what does the divine diagnosis reveal? Would you please look with me in Hosea 4 and verse number 6, please. Hosea 4. I want to read at verse 1 through the 6th verse. And again, it goes without saying that there should be in your heart and mind an expectation that as you read the scripture, God has something for you today. And in the first verse, the first word, the first verse in chapter 4 is here. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out in blood, toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother." Now verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And the because is there in the verse. "Because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." So again, this sixth verse begins this way. Let me give a simple and speedy explanation of the text. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." The word "destroyed" conveys the idea of that which is brought to silence, to fail. You might, if we continue to stretch out the application regarding failing health, And when a person's health is failing, they are vulnerable. And why? The verse says two things. The verse says two things. First of all, thou hast rejected knowledge. To spurn it. Spurn something as that which is despised. Secondly, it says thou hast forgotten. To be oblivious to or to simply ignore what God says. And what was it that they forgot? They forgot the law of thy God. Thus any testimony for Jehovah is gone. Any influence for God is at low ebb. As a defining force for spiritual good, non-existent. Pagan idolatry becomes their attraction instead of the reverse. And it's all due to a preventable lack of knowledge. And I want to say to you that this was not a formal dismissal of God's law as such. Many in our own day are attempting to rewrite once firmly held doctrinal truths to suit themselves under the guise of Christian liberty. The old mold doesn't fit the way I want to live now, and so let's rewrite the basic sketch to suit our own understanding of the circumstances as they are at present. This was not a formal dismissal of God's law as such, but rather a contemptible dismissiveness. Hear what the Lord says, and the children would say, ah, some other time. Some other time. Dismissiveness, an ancient manifestation of relativism that will not admit or acknowledge the reality of scriptural absolutes. Will not acknowledge it. The only thing then and the only thing now that is absolute, the only thing that's absolute is my opinion. Yours isn't. Now, what we see in our day transpiring certainly is not new. In Hosea, the 8th chapter, the 14th verse, if you'll look there please, chapter 8, verse number 14. And tell me where the discussion over divine creation has ceased to be relevant. For in chapter 8, verse 14, Israel hath forgotten his maker. Has the church of today forgotten their maker? Israel hath forgotten her maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Look in chapter 13, verse 6. Chapter 13, verse 6. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they have forgotten me. Would you please link forgetfulness of the divine creator and maker to pride? If you trace it back to its original source, pride that is, to the very heart of the devil, one of the things I believe that that Lucifer forgot was that he was a creature. He forgot he was a creature. And he wanted to be like the Most High God. He wanted to be like his maker. And even usurp the role of his maker. And now we see Israel said to have forgotten her maker. And then you link to it pride. A lack of knowledge was not or never has been due to its unavailability, but simply a willing kind of spiritual, can I put it this way, a kind of spiritual dementia. You know, dementia is not a very pleasant circumstance. It is not. Physical dementia is terrifying for the person who realizes that they are descending into it as they notice little bit by little bit that the edges are coming all brittle and that the edges around the very core of their ability to process is becoming brittle itself in the middle. And the very awareness of that occurrence going on terrifies and frightens. And it is all the more a source of demoralization for those who stand by and observe it happening. But all the more is it so when it is a spiritual dementia that the Lord speaks to. My people have forgotten me. They have forgotten the Maker. There is a form of spiritual dementia. And so when we see that Israel is likened unto an invalid of sorts, it is due primarily to what the prophet says, chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed. Because sooner or later, dementia, physical dementia, brings a person to such a small little circle in the middle that they become silent. Non-communicative. They do not communicate. And only God knows what's going on in their brain that does not allow what's there to get out, but it just closes in. And so Israel, afflicted, made invalid by a kind of spiritual dementia which may manifest in various ways, spiritual dementia. Let me open one of these up. Please go to Isaiah chapter 28, please. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. And if you would, please, at verse number 1. Please link now these words that are here in the verse. Woe to the crown of pride. To the drunkards of Ephraim. Ephraim, Israel. A reference to the larger segment of God's chosen people, whose glorious beauty is what? A fading flower. Which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of what? The drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden underfoot, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as a hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But then verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and strong drink, are out of the way. And who is complicit in this? Priest and prophet. They have erred through strong drink. It is said they are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err as drunkards do in vision. They see everything 2x2. And they stumble in judgment. And then, part and parcel of drunkenness in verse 8, all your tables are what? Full of? How well I do remember the old fire hall meeting house. Saturday night there were wedding receptions. Sunday morning, Grace Baptist Church would convene. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, out the door I go, over to the fire hall, open her up and start cleaning the place up from the restrooms the whole way through the floor. Yes. The tables are full of vomit and filthiness so that there is no place clean. And then verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? I point out Isaiah 28 to demonstrate how dementia, spiritual dementia, manifests among the people of God. In this particular time, and again, if you go back to the early chapters of the book of Isaiah, you will see a people critically ill. Critically ill, trying to find relief for their pain. I want to tell you that when gout happens, you'll do anything you can to get a bit of relief. And it comes and it goes, second by second, second by second. And you're looking for something to stop the pain. And when a person is hurting within, they seek for something to relieve their pain, and so many people turn to the bottle. If I can but escape for the moment and find relief, only thing about it is addictive and degenerative. And going to a certain point, that goes to a point where there is no return. Their damage, as gout left untreated, is irreparable. And I remind you that when he was speaking to Hosea, to the people of Israel, we are to take what happened before time as our examples, to know that the same afflictions that fell out in Israel can fall out in the church. There may be many people within the church who are hurting inside terribly so, and yet walking around with a kind of smile on their face that betrays what's going on in their heart, seeking to get relief, but looking in all the wrong places. They erred through wine. The priests did, and the people did. They err in vision. The intoxication of liberty via liquor. In Isaiah 56, verse 10 through 12, Isaiah 56 and verse number 10, speaks of a visual impairment. They can't see. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They can't see. And why? Verse number 10, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. Dumb in the sense they can't bark. Great watchdog, eh? Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. His watchmen are blind, thus spiritually ignorant, verbally impaired, like unto those dumb dogs, greedy dogs, it is said here. Verse 11, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way and every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day. And like the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and much more abundant. The focus is on self. And thus does Jeremiah reveal that the prophets prophesied by Baal. And they walked after things that do not profit. And yet, incredulously, do they have the gall to say, as Jeremiah put it in chapter 8, verse 7, how do you say, we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? How do you say that? How is that possible? My dear friends, times change. And sometimes change is good. Sometimes change is not so good. And it has been pointed out in months past that there is now a fascination among God's professed people with alcoholic beverages, a fascination with crafting their own specialized brew. And why, say ye, do they do that? Because, and they're out of their own mouth comes this word, because with this brew in hand, I can sit down across the table from my unsaved neighbor and offer him a quality drink with one hand and a tract for the gospel message in the other. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They are brought to silence. The influence that once characterized the church militant is no longer existent, and the church is increasingly becoming irrelevant because my people are ignorant. As Hosea said to Israel, even so do the apostles ring over and over and over again to the church. And though we have been called out of the world, sometimes it is a struggle to get the world out of us. And after the world has even departed, there is that tremendous possibility that if we let down our guard, we are drawn back into the world again. And so, God speaks to Hosea, he said, you go take a wife of whoredoms. And there's good news at the end of that story. Because through that, God would show His marvelous mercy and long-suffering and His love for His people by having a reconciliation occur between Hosea the prophet and his wife of whoredoms, where she would abandon her petulant ways and return to her husband's embrace. So one day will Israel, though now estranged from her God, return to Him in joy, in peace, and believing at the kingdom. There's good news at the end of that story. But my dear friends, this is one of the file folders that we open, a file of the great physician, where spiritual dementia causes his beloved bride to go limping and stumbling through life. And that's not what God has in mind for His dear people. That is not it at all. He would rather that we march triumphant and victorious, rejoicing in the sure, fixed, forever, settled forever in heaven word of the living God. So He says, hear. And we anticipate that when He says hear, that He has something He wants to say. Eagerly should we open our ears to listen to what the Spirit saith to the churches. Would you pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, would you please allow us to take from here that which is profitable and useful from your perspective, your point of view. Lay it upon our hearts, not but for just the moment, but for the rest of our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen.